Our title this evening is I Was Afraid. I was afraid Friday. I was on I-40 in Elk City and they had road construction and went down to one lane and I was going along there with a load of cattle and a little lady in her Pontiac Vibe stopped to let a truck come on in front of me. I smoked the tires and squealed the tires and finally said, I'm going to the ditch. So I head off to the ditch and the truck saw what was happening. Other people probably heard and they finally sped up and I was okay. Maybe that wasn't fear. Maybe that was outright panic because I knew that I was going to crush a Pontiac Vibe right in front of me. And people are afraid of other things. Some people are afraid of snakes, spiders, mice, whatever. But when I think of fear, I think of Matthew 25 and that one talent man. We're not going to read this. We'll have it up there for you to look at. You remember that everyone was giving according to their several ability. One got 5 talents, one got 2 talents, one got 1 talent. The individual with 1 talent, he knew that his Lord was a hard man. So he went and hid it in the earth. And then the Lord came and says, you knew I was hard. You knew I gathered where I had not strawed and whether I have not and get where I hadn't sown. They'd gather this. And he knew I was hard. And you yet you did this. And then he said, you should have put my money into the bank and got interest. But you didn't do that. Take it away from him. Give it to the one that have 10 talents. And it's, you know, as I think about our congregation, and I'm going to use a word this evening, and I hope this don't offend anybody. I'm going to talk about Fred, because I don't want to call names. You know, when I get here on Sunday mornings, Fred is sweeping up the bugs. Fred is taking out the trash. Fred is checking the sound system, the air conditioner batteries. Fred is making CDs. Fred is in charge. Fred is getting people lined up to do the communion. Fred is getting the song leaders. Fred is taking care of the communion. Fredette is communion, doing the communion bread, pouring up the juice. Fred is getting people to come to church, going to Shamrock, Canadian, Wheeler. Fred is doing this. Fred is mowing the grass. And in the wintertime, Fred is cleaning off the snow. Fred is bringing in supplies for the kitchen. The plates and the silverware, the napkins, the toilet paper. Fred is here cleaning when we're not cleaning during the week. Fred is working on the plumbing when the plumbing's clogged up. Fred is taking care of the electricity when it don't work. Fred visits the sick. Fred calls on the sick, see if they need anything. Fred takes, maybe Fredette. Fredette takes food to the people that are homebound. Fred makes sure they're okay. Fred sends out prayers via text. Now, I have to call this name. The Sunshine Girls, they meet and they get things done. I don't even know what to do because I'm not invited. So, when I think about all the talents and abilities we have, it's a lot. We have a lot of things going on. And I'm thankful for that. But when I read Matthew 25... in our lesson today, we're going to think about this according to abilities. Each one of you has an ability here. And if we let Fred do it, we don't get to exercise our ability. So let's think about our lesson today on being afraid to use or exercise our ability. In Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or it be evil. You people in classes, college, school, sometimes the instructor will stress something. I'm going to stress this. This on your final exam. This is there. Fear God and keep His commandments. If you don't do that, you're going to fail. That's putting it pretty simply. What should we be afraid of? My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I'm afraid of thy judgments. I think it was Saul. When the Lord spoke to him, he fell on his face. He was blind for several days. We see that happen in a lot of instances when we actually come in contact with our Lord or God. The voice, we can't even stand it. We fear them. I had a fear of my dad to some extent. Not that he was going to hurt me or nothing, but I feared if I didn't do what he said, I was going to suffer the consequences. And I think we should fear the Lord the same way. We need to suffer those consequences if we don't do what he's told us. What should we be afraid of? 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I've never been around the lion, but I did trap a bobcat once. And it was in a live trap, and I walked up in we had a tree house, and I was going to go get that thing out of that trap. And I stuck my hand down, and it growled and screamed at me. I had goosebumps. I said, oh, it ain't going to hurt me. And I could not do it. I could not pick up that trap. I got me a sack and covered it up, and then I could do that. But to me, the devil is not a roaring lion. The devil is between my ears whispering to me. Just once won't hurt. Nobody will know. Everybody else is doing it. What have you got to lose? That's the way the devil comes to me. It's not a roaring lion. He's whispering between my ears. It's okay. Go ahead. Nobody's going to know. And yet I think, I've got everything to lose when he does that to me. Be afraid of the devil. That's something we should be afraid of. Luke 12 and 4. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do to you. This is telling us that our Lord at judgment can punish our soul forever and ever. But a man here on earth, they can kill us. Yeah, we become dust again. Don't fear that. I'm afraid if somebody puts a gun in my face, I'm going to be afraid. But he tells us not fear that. Fear them that can destroy us in hell forever and ever. Romans 13, let's read this in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. I expect if I stood before a judge, and he had the ability to lock me up from you people that I love, I would be afraid. I would be afraid of that. So we're told to respect the authorities we have over us, because they're here to help keep order. So we're to fear them. How many of you, when you see a red and blue light in your back window, don't get a little bit afraid? What did you do wrong? How fast was it going? Did I not stop? We all have a little bit of fear when that happens. Another thing on your final question, are we afraid to talk to others? Acts 18 and 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set upon thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to someone about the gospel, and I didn't do it. I was afraid what they might say. I was this, I was that, and we just let it slip by. That opportunity may not come back. So we're here today to address our fears about talking to others about Jesus. Address our fears about helping others obey the gospel. Ephesians 6 and 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. How should Christians speak? They ought to speak boldly. Not out of abrasive or not I know it all type. We also read about we're having our speech seasoned with salt. But he's telling us speak to people. Tell others about Jesus. Yeah, I got to share a true story with you. When Pat was here this year, there were several of us divided up, and we invited folks to come to the gospel meeting. And some of our young friends were with us. And after that, young Fred was at the library, and he was talking to the librarian, and he straightens up and says, "I would like to invite you to our gospel meeting." And the lady said, "Yes, that sounds good." Young Fred got out of the vehicle and told his parents, says, "Whew, that was scary." Amen, young Freds. Keep it up. How many people have we seen here visiting that a young person invited them? That works every time. Yeah, was it scary? Maybe. But it'll be easier next time. Every time it'll be easier. I charge every one of you here today, women especially, men done got hit today, earlier, invite someone to church. Invite them to study. See what happens. I've invited people in the past, and usually I say, "Oh, yeah, that sounds good. I'd like that." And one of our friends will say, "Yeah, they ain't coming. They probably don't." Had one guy says, "David, you know good and well I'm not going to go to church with you." He did say that. Ate lunch with him Saturday. Had a good time. We're friends. So I charge you, let's next week invite people to church. Hey, how about a study? We'd like to study the Bible. If you come in with a scar on your head, I won't feel bad. I've had that before, but not from them, okay? Acts 2 and 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself from this underworld generation." Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. Why do we want to talk to others about Jesus? It's to teach them about Jesus. Teach them how to obey the gospel. Save souls. What does a peach tree produce? Peaches. What does Christians produce? Yeah, you got it. We're supposed to lead others to Christ. That's what we're supposed to have. Christians. It's a commandment for us to go teach. Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given in men to heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. Amen." This commission was given to his disciples. His disciples, most of them met pretty wicked deaths. They're not with us. Are we going to let Fred do this? Fred's better at it than I am. Fred knows how. People who listen to Fred. First Timothy 3:1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. That's the word I want to key on. Apt to teach. In 10 years, y'all look around, somebody's not going to be here. In 20 years, you look around, some of us are not going to be here. I want this church to be strong and vibrant in 10 years. I want a place for my grandchildren and my brothers and sisters in Christ to be at church, don't y'all? Someone has to step up and work towards the leadership. We're not all going to be here in a few years. You say, well, you know, Fred's doing good. Fred's fine. Fred may be dead. He ain't going to do good then. He's out of here. Someone's going to need to take over and not in a panic situation. Who's going to do it? We got to get out of our comfort zone and do what we need to be doing. Wives, did you know there's a lot about the qualifications of a deacon's wife? I didn't list them. When there's an elder, it's a husband and wife situation. Why do you have a good elder or deacon? Because their wife pushes them. I'll promise you that. What causes her fear? Mark 4:40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, our fears come in different matters. Probably 30 or 40 years ago, I had an aunt die, and the family called and said, would you preach the funeral? I said, we'll talk about it tomorrow. I said, there's no way I can do that. I can't look out at a crowd, somebody crying, I can't do that. So we drive to Canadian the next day. They'd already put it in the paper that I'm the preacher. So anyway, my dad-in-law fixed up a funeral sermon, and it's a very good one. I don't know how well it went over. I don't care to do it again. That was not no fun. I had fear standing in front of a group doing a funeral. I don't like funerals. But I got through it. Matthew 14:29. And he said to him, come. And then Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Let's stop there. Jesus came to the disciples in the boat, and he is walking on the water, and here's Peter. We talked about him during communion. He's ready to go out there, and Jesus says, come on. And he does. But he sees how boisterous the waves are, and he begins to sink. And he calls for help, and Jesus immediately saves him and says, oh, thou of little faith. That would catch me in a heartbeat. Oh, thou of little faith. Number one, I've been on a big boat in an ocean where you can never even see land. I'm not going to get out of the boat. Them waves are taller than my head. I'm not getting out on the water. So many times when we think we can't do it, it's because we don't lack enough faith. Think about this now. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, I'm not going to go to sleep this evening. I'm standing in front of you, okay? That's what happened. We get comfortable being lazy. Fred can do it. Fred's better at starting a song. Everybody has to work together. There is an old saying about a chain. A chain is just as strong as the weakest link. Everybody's got to work together and do everything that they possibly can and try to improve. What else causes fear? Psalms 35 and 3, strengthen ye the weak hands and conform the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Do you really believe that God will save you? Do you really believe that you're having a problem, God will help you? If you're doing something that God wants you to do, won't he help you? Is that a yes or a no? Will he help you? How to manage fear? For me, it's Hebrews 12 and 29. For our God is a consuming fire. I need to remember that he will cut me no slack. If I don't do what he says, he is going to punish me. Yes, God is love, but he's not going to cut me any slack at all. He never has, and he never will. He is a just God. He tells us what to do. We do it. We're blessed. He tells us what to do, and we don't do it. We're cursed. I mean, it's pretty simple. So that's a way for me to handle that, is just remember, he will punish me. If I don't obey, he will punish me, and he will punish you. It's that simple. Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See that diligently? I read through that so fast, sometimes it don't even register. If you have faith and you're diligently seeking God, you're going to be telling others about Jesus. You're going to be inviting them to church. You're going to be offered to study with them. You're offered to do good things for them diligently. But if you're sleepily doing it, We got to be diligent. That's the way to handle that. Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I walk in my bathroom every morning to comb my hair, and I see that. I believe that. Or I wouldn't be where I'm at now. I believe that. If you're doing good, he will bless you. If you're doing bad, he will curse you. Pretty simple. In Psalms 56 and 3, for what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Do we really put our trust in God? Or do you think, man, I got to figure my way out of this? We cannot figure a way out of it. We don't have the ability to do that. Trust in him, follow his word, and it's not that complicated. Psalms 91 and 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flieth by the day. A lot of you probably not old enough to grew up on a farm that had chickens. I did. And it was just amazing how it rained or hail, and an old chicken would get her little chicks under her wings. You couldn't even see the chickens. They didn't get wet. They didn't get hurt. Them feathers just covered them. Cling to God. Ask him to protect you, to shield you. You won't get hurt. Trust in Him. Them chicks didn't worry a bit. Mama was there and she had her wings over them. No big deal. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Who is He that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? If God's for you, who can be against you? Who can stop you? First Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The amazing thing is, more than likely, a lot of people are going to ask you. You don't have to ask them about the Bible or invite them to church. They will ask you religious questions if you bring it up often enough. They'll come to you with questions. You need to have some answers. You can say, well, I need to get Fred because we'll get you an answer. I don't know, but Fred knows. Fred will help you. In Deuteronomy 11:26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will or not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Like I said, it's really very simple. You obey God and do His commandments, you get a blessing. You do not obey, you get a curse. Think a minute about the blessing. And John 14 said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. With all of the talent that our Lord has, and if He builds a mansion, think about it. It'll be out of this world. All the beautiful things that we see here on this earth, He made, but He's going to make a mansion. That's our blessing. You do His will, you get blessed. Okay, let's go the other way. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Those that do not obey the gospel are punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. It's that simple. If you don't obey the gospel, what's the gospel? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And we've went over this a lot of times. I think everybody here knows that. That's what we're told to do. You don't do it, you're going to be cursed. This is your reward. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You will spend forever and ever and ever and ever with the devil in torment when you're cursed, when you don't obey the gospel. When you do obey the gospel, you spend forever and ever and ever in a mansion with the Lord. It's your choice. We're going to have an invitation song. It's your choice. Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Acts 26:27. King Agrippa said, or he's asked this, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I'm telling you that through the scriptures, never God said this is a special circumstance. You've got so close, you're going to get the blessing. I never see that. You either obey the commandments, you obey the gospel, you're baptized in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost for remission of sins to get the blessing. If you do not do this, you get the curse.